men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Today, I'm going to be having an interactive section, and I want us to participate. Glory to God. Amen. Are you ready? Okay, what I want to talk about today is something that I believe will help every one of us. We're going to be looking at some of the reasons why our relationships with one another don't progress. We're going to be looking at it from two perspectives. We're going to be looking at it from one. You realize that some people, they get on together, they are very fond of themselves. I mean, this is male-male now, female-female, same-sex relationship. And then all of a sudden, you just realize that they are far apart. They no longer relate again. The vibes, the bond, everything just went flat. That's one. Two, you realize that, two people were getting along like they were going to move on or progress into a marital, conjugal union. But all of a sudden, it becomes we were once together. So what are some of the reasons our relationships suffer? That's the focus of my interactions with us this morning. Are we ready? Are you ready? Okay. So we're going to be doing it two ways. I have some of my points here, but I want us to also, it's going to be an open forum. I want everybody to participate. So I need the four mics. I need one to be here. So I need an usher here, and then another to be here, another there. Glory to God. Are we ready? So you may have questions too. If you have questions, you can also write it down. So it's going to be an interactive section. Glory to God. Are we ready? So first and foremost, what is relationship? Essentially, when you're talking about relationship, you are talking about a connection that exists between two or more persons. So the word relationship means connection. So relationship, it's a connection between two or more persons with an intent or with an intention. So every relationship has reasons, has a purpose. So when we are talking about a relationship, we are talking about how people connect for both corporate benefits and mutual benefits. Glory to God. So relationship, we as humans, we are beings of relationship. Humans are designed by God to relate. We don't exist in a world all by ourselves. We are created to coexist. We are created to coexist, to live together, both as a family and as individuals, as family and as group. So we have relationship that exists between father and mother. We have relationship that exists between a father and children. We have relationship that exists between siblings. And then we now have relationship that exists between colleagues. We have relationship that exists between people who have intention to get married. We have relationship that exists between people from the same church. I mean, spiritual relationships. So now, why do our relationships suffer? Why do we have unhealthy relationships? Why do we have abusive relationships? Why do we have bitter relationships? Like, you could imagine someone, they were once close, and now you call the name. He said, please don't call that name. I don't want to hear that name. Now, what could bring about issues and situations like that? And how can we as believers manage or first prevent such from happening, and then to manage our relationships? So let's keep the ball rolling. So who are we? Who is opening the floor? Want to help us? Raise your hands. Don't be shy. Why shy? You shy? Amen. Glory to God. Who is ready? Okay, one here. Okay, mommy is there. So let's hear from mommy first. The others will follow as the conversation ensues.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, mommy.
I've heard this expression. I can't remember where I heard it from. I can forget what you do to me. I can forget what you say to me, but I won't forget how you make me feel. Many relationships go down south because of how we make the other party feel. And when the feeling is not addressed, then it becomes a hurt, becomes an ulcer of pains, and then there is that tendency to want to avoid your source of pain.
Wow. Please, let's put our hands together for mommy. We're going to address the matter that mommy has raised extensively. Extensive examination of the matter. So one of the reasons our relationship goes sour is because of lack of respect or proper management of individuals' feelings. So I don't know, how do we... Okay, first and foremost, she said, I may forget what you said, I may forget what you did, but may not be able to forget how you made me feel. So managing managing emotions, that's the summary of what mommy have said. And it's very, very important, because please, I want us to listen very attentively. Oftentimes we forget that apart from the fact that we are spiritual people, we are also soulish people. We have soul, and one of the faculties of our soul is our emotions. And it's more like the dominant, it's more like the most dominant emotion, because it's an emotion that always expresses itself. For example, if somebody is sad about what you said, you can know that the person is sad. Do you understand? Or the person will know that the reason why I'm feeling this way is because of what you said. So it means that one of the important aspects of our relationships is our feelings. Our feelings. So managing our feelings, managing how we feel. So that's one of the reasons. We'll come back to that. So let's hear from Toba. What's the other reason why some of our relationships don't progress?
Praise the Lord. The reason why most of our relationships don't work out, or we end up being pained, is because of our expectations.
Good. So expectations. 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 So are we what we expect from the other? Okay. So we have 2 points now. So let's look at the third.
Praise God, church. Okay, I have 3 points here.
Okay.
Number one is not defining relationship.
Okay.
Number two, not respecting boundaries.
Lack of definition. Okay.
Number two is not respecting boundaries.
Okay.
Then the third one is not contributing to the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Not respecting boundaries. Then not contributing. So I need two more, then we'll go over all of them. Okay. Okay, there's something we've not been doing. We should just try and just introduce ourselves. Just tell us your name so that at least people will have the opportunity to know your name.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My name is Priscilla. I feel one of the reasons why relationships don't work is because of our differences.
Okay.
Because most times people come together because of their similarities. They see that, okay, I have something in common with this person, so we bond well. But in the long run, we begin to get familiar with each other, and then we begin to realize our differences. And because of that familiarity, we begin to, because sometimes long distance relationships
conceal,
you still respect each other because familiarity has not entered. But once you are familiar with each other, that boundaries, the differences will always cause issues, and the way we communicate with each other too can also cause problems. When you realize someone's differences is affecting you, rather than speak to them in a calm and gentle way, I don't like the way you talk to me, we just tend to flare up, and it leads to a major disagreement. That's my question.
Okay. Let's put hands together for all of them. Glory to God. So let's look at the issues that have been raised. Other issues may come after, but let's look at these. Now, one of the reasons our relationships don't get to work is because of our inability to manage feelings, or how we make people feel. Now I don't know if someone wants to look at how we can manage that kind of scenario. Okay, let me expound it a bit. Now, what are emotions? Our emotions are feelings. So can we identify some of these feelings? Let's look at some of these feelings. We have sadness. We have hurts. We have pains. We have fears. Let's mention them. Our feelings: sadness, disappointment. What else? Anxiety, excitement. Passion, depression. So now let's widen it. Let's make it wider. So what we are trying to say is this: that as we get to relate with people, we must understand that people have what makes them feel the way they feel. And then, for example, what may cause one person hurt may not cause the other pain. So now, how do we manage our feelings in relationship? Now we have come to realize that relationships may go sour because of how the person made you feel. So now you are in a relationship with someone, and the person, they binu, they make you binu or they vex you. How do we manage it? How do we manage the feelings that comes with relating with people? Who's going to help us? Okay, since nobody wants to. Okay, there's a brother at the back there. Tell us your name.
Church, praise the Lord. My name is Tony.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir. I believe, first of all, how you manage it is by first understanding the kind of person that you are. You understand? Because I'll use myself for an example. I'm staying in a family house. I'm a youth couple. And then there is this particular person. She has this way of talking to people, and it's really not nice. And people tend to overlook it. And then I experienced it for myself, and I'm this kind of person that I'm quite sensitive. So it actually got me upset. But then I tried not to talk back. But at the end of the day, I just decided to give her a space. We just greet normally, and then we walk back. It's not like we are quarreling or anything. So it's for you to understand the kind of person that you are. If you know you are a sensitive kind of person, you try to respect yourself and not go on with it. At the end of the day, you just lose yourself, and then it escalates to something else. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, let's put our hands together for him. I mean, he raised some points which we are going to look at. You know, it's a conversation. We know where it started, but we don't know where it will end. So now let's look at something. Now, don't forget that we are looking at this subject from the place of being believers. So we are talking about how, as believers, we are supposed to manage our relationships with people. Okay. Now, he said something which I'm going to start from. The first way to manage emotions in relationship, if we go back to the school of emotional intelligence, I don't know how many of us have read books or studied, read articles, listened to teachings on emotional intelligence. This is one area that a lot of people are not talking about. A lot of people don't read books about. I want to challenge you, after this service, go online, type on Google how to manage emotions. You see, if you study emotional intelligence very well, you will understand that you really may not be able to change how people make you feel to an extent. That's the truth. Because like he rightly said, you might be in an environment, or for example, working with a colleague that is very naughty, that is very annoying, very pushy, very touchy. And these are the kind of people you have to work with. For example, both of you are in a project, or you are in the same class teacher. You are the senior, the person is the assistant. I mean, there are some set of people you can't avoid. You know, he said something that, and when you observe those kind of things, okay, we can lock up. Good. In that space, you may be able to manage your space in that space. But there are some space that the person, even when you try to pull back, the person keeps coming. Maybe the person is even your boss, and you have to be there for that period of time. So that's where the issue he mentioned, the first thing he mentioned, comes in the school of emotional intelligence. Please write it down. We call it self-awareness. The starting point of managing feelings, emotions in relationship, is called self-awareness. Now, what do we mean by self-awareness? That's what he said. Know what irritates you. Know what angers you. You need to identify it. For example, there are some people, they don't like when you talk about certain events. It evokes negative emotions. There are some people that don't like certain environments, certain issues. So the starting point of being able to build solid relationship is self-awareness. Now, when we talk about self-awareness, the first question I want to talk about, or the first thing that I want to talk about, is what causes you sadness? What gets you upset? What gets you upset? Now, that's one. Two, is it what getting you upset? You know, when you talk about self-awareness, like he rightly said, you know that you are a sensitive person. Now, are you supposed to be like that for how long that you live? Are we to maintain, okay, someone say, me, are they quick verse, so now spotting the verse me. Is it a good place to be for a long period of time? Especially as a believer. Are we together? If you are this type that say, small thing, me, you know, say me, my own, a small thing, or big thing, not the verse me, a small thing, they make me verse. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that he that must have friends must show himself friendly. So, what do we say about that? I mean, how do we manage sensitivity? How do we manage being easily irritated? Is it a sign that the person is still a baby, or is a sign that the person is not really understanding people? Because if you say, for example, I'm not going to relate with people because I'm a sensitive person, it might bring you to another problem, which is called isolation, and can bring another problem, which can lead to what? Depression. So how do we manage our sensitivity, or how do we regulate our sensitivity, knowing fully well that it can be an impediment to solid relationship? Because the truth is this: if you check our relationship rating, some people are very good at relationships. You could ask them, how are you able to manage all these people? But there are some people, just put two of those people in their space, you will have to be settling fight almost every week. Now, how do we handle the issue of sensitivity? Now, somebody should speak, please. I want mommy to speak. I think she has some experience in that field.
There was a time we had a workshop on relating with people, and we were taught that when you're relating with other people, because we have different temperaments, we have different behavioral inclination, you just don't treat people the way you want to be treated. You also treat people the way you understand that they want to be treated. Someone who is an extrovert may overlook certain things that an introvert may not. So everyone is sensitive in different ways. So if I say I am sensitive, someone else will say I am sensitive. So everyone is sensitive to a particular thing. So if I understand that in my relationship with you, these are the things you don't want, then it's not just that because I feel like it, I should continue to do it. I know you don't like it. Someone else may tolerate it, and I can be that to one person. That's why Paul said, I am to the Jews, I am Jew, to the Greeks, I am Greek. So if we understand the people we are relating with, and we relate with them based on that, it will also help our relationships.
Okay, please, can we put hands together for her? You are not talking, you are not clapping. Which one you want to do? Respect my feelings, oh. Glory to God. That's very, very cool. See, one thing we have to learn is this. If everybody keeps saying, okay, I'm sensitive, we'll just have a world of bottled, or we'll start having insensitivity issue. Because, yes, but there's something which she has said, and I wrote it down as identifying people's feelings and also honoring them. And I think we should begin to understand that, like she said, we must begin to train ourselves as individuals to learn to be selfless at some point. The reason is because you may not be able to predict people's level of maturity. So what we are trying to say, and what she actually said, is this: we must learn to understand people. And I still believe that the starting point of understanding people is understanding ourselves. And I think that's what Jesus also said. This is how it works. It means that somewhere in your life, if something really hurts you, you should know how it feels, and you should begin to think how it will feel towards someone else. Let's take, for example, you are the type that doesn't like when somebody borrows your thing. You have to wait till the person has to wait till you tell the person, when are you returning it? You don't like it. It also means that you yourself, when you borrow somebody thing, no keep them for your wardrobe and forget. So I think where the insensitivity comes from, let's look at insensitivity from another perspective. It comes from when you want me to understand this part of you, but you don't want to understand this part of me. I don't know if you get. So it means that as we grow on in life, we must begin to factor in our own insensitivities or our own triggers, our own sources of offense, and see that thing when you do, or that thing when person they do you, when they vex you, you should also realize that if you do it to another person too, it can vex. Meaning that we should not take people's tolerance for granted. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It means that, for example, I don't like it when people come late. It pains you when people come late, and you are always talking about it. But now you also come late. That insensitivity is insensitivity, not sensitive. Do you understand? Because you can't be pained by what someone else did to you, whereas when you did it to someone, it also, you don't feel like you did something wrong. Are we together? So we must understand that self-awareness begins from first understanding yourself and implementing that understanding in your relationship with people. For example, I don't like it when I borrow you something. Maybe I borrow you my screwdriver or my charger or something that I use daily or often, and then you don't return it. You wait till I ask you for it. Now, do you know what it means to me? If I feel that way towards what people collect from me, it's already telling me that that's a kind of life I should live towards others too. So it means if I borrow something from someone, I should immediately what? Return it the moment I am done. That is what we call balance in our relationships. So where the imbalance is coming from is that we are good at receiving a certain treatment, but we are not formidable in letting that treatment out to others. And that's not being fair. Now, what do we do about people who manage their emotions by maintaining their space as believers? What do we have to say about that? So where is Pastor Victor? Kowa? Kenny? Give him the mic now. So what do you have to say about people who... Okay, let's look at it from two perspectives. Because we're going to come... That's one of the challenges of our relationships. How do we manage people when they are displeased? They keep quiet. They do the silent treatment thing. Two, they do the avoidance. How do we manage the silent treatment category of people and the avoidance treatment category of people? So the silent treatment of people, say yay. Those of us that are in that group, say yay. When people offend you or do something you don't like, you prefer to keep quiet. Say yay. Okay. For those of you that when people do something you don't like, you prefer to do the avoidance. Say yay. Okay. We are plenty in that class. So, which one you want to help us with? pastor, sir.
Glory to God. My name is Victor, and thank you so much for the privilege, sir. I think when mommy was talking, she said a lot, and I would just want to add to what she already said. When I believe that when it comes to relationship, like pastor started with, we are relationshiping, and we cannot avoid relating with people because that's what all our life is all about. So when it comes to, and mommy said something, there are different people have different attributes and character,
background.
Yes, background and all of that. People have things that have forged character and the way they behave in them. So for me personally, I've learned that when in my relationships, I should always think beyond what people do to me or beyond the issues I have in the relationship. Because, for example, if I'm in a relationship with pastor and along the way we have issues, I should always, what we do most times is that we don't get to think before we react in our relationship. So if maybe pastor hurts me in the relationship, I should be able to think about the, I should look into the big picture of the relationship. Okay, what has been is consistent behavior and character in the relationship. How does he see the relationship? So I will not be judging the relationship or my reaction to the relationship based on what he did now, but on what he is or what he has painted the relationship to be to me. So with from that perspective, it will really help me to have good judgment or to exercise good judgment in my relationship. So, but if I'm in a situation where maybe my partner in the relationship, maybe I along the way I see some, I did something that hurts the person, or I realize that the person is, you know, doing the, pastor, what did you call it? The silent treatment. What's the other one, sir?
Avoidance.
The avoidance treatment. One thing I believe in relationship is communication. Because in relationship, you have to be sensitive to the other person's reaction and actions. And the one of the most important aspects of relationship is that we focus more on others than ourselves. I used to tell people, if you want to have the best relationship, work more on yourself than you expect others to react. Because if you can be more patient, it means you'll be able to manage relationship. If you can try to understand people more. So more of the work in relationship should be focused on ourselves, like making yourself to become a better person. Because if you make yourself a better person, you'll be able to have a better relationship. So in that kind of situation, make sure you communicate. Communication is one of the, is if not the strongest tool or strength of relationship. So I can call my partner, okay, I realize that you are doing like this. You can make the person see the fact that if you continue to do like this, we will lose our relationship. So communication is very important. Then somebody mentioned it, how we communicate. I think our sister Priscilla, she talked about communication when she was raising her point. One thing we should learn in relationship is how to communicate matter. It's very important. There is a way you will communicate with someone. You will be making the person to see less of himself. There is a way you we shouldn't be, our communication should not be, we shouldn't attack the other person, but to make the person see the advantage of relating in the proper way. So for me, one of the solution to avoidance, or maybe the person is trying to, is communication. If you have good communication system, if you are able to communicate with the person, you, two of you, will be able to arrive at a point where it will make it easy for you to get along with one another. Thank you, sir.
Okay, let's put hands together for him. I'll come, sir. You've mentioned it from a type of relationship. But what about if it's like an office environment? You get, and you are working in an office environment, or like a situation where, like in the department now, we are like 3-4, and we are all colleagues. I'm not a boss over any of them, and this one keeps doing a particular thing. Do you understand? Are you trying to say that is there not a place where I can just maintain my space? Because if I go talk now, it will cause more problem. If it creates tension for the office, I'm coming. You may not be the one to answer. Don't worry. Uh-huh. Are we together? Am I speaking someone's mind? Because there are times that you communicate and the thing come even cause more problem. The person twist away till you talk, even carry and go up. If at the little thing where you just won't talk, may just be like, say you talk your mind, they don't pum. So are there things one should consider in that kind of relationship? Because relationship are kinds. For example, there was a day I was driving around this Captain Cook, you know, that junction that leads like this. I just the entire traffic gate. The guy just began insulting me from his bike. Say, hey, this is in that case, I should park and go and communicate. Or glory to God. Is there no? Yeah, we are all talking. Can we celebrate God? Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, mommy, I'm coming. You speak. Let's hear from Minister Kingsley.
Praise the Lord, church.
So tell us your name, sir.
My name is Mr. Kingsley. So, talking about relationship and how to handle it. Personally, I am in the quiet aspect.
Okay, silent treatment. Okay.
But the reason why I do that, because, you know, every man is his orientation. And it is what you have built over time that becomes who you are in terms of how you handle things. And also, when I think about relationship, most times when issue come up, I always feel that it's not all about being right or wrong. You value that person's happiness more than being right or wrong. Mm. So what I do is, when somebody offends me, especially maybe in a place of work, in an office and all of that, if someone really offends me and I keep quiet, what I do that moment is I take time to reflect, because if you speak at that impulse, you might actually say what you might regret. So I take that time to calculate my words, to calm down. Maybe after some time, when the anger must have dissipated, I'll now be in a better frame of mind to tell the person, that thing you said or you did, I didn't like it. I was not happy about it. Mm. So that time, we might have a better discussion. Because if I should say it at that moment I was triggered, it might, you know, escalate to a point that things might get out of hand. So being silent at that moment gives me a time to be sober, to be calculative. Maybe at a later time, maybe after some moments, I might now call the person and said, this thing you said and this thing you did, I don't like it. So at that moment, we might have a better atmosphere to settle things. So that's why I think I can.
Wow. That's another perspective. Let's put hands together for him. I said, you no talk, you no clap. Anybody where I see say no clap this time, now I go answer my next question, because the person not they respect my feeling. Eh? Okay. I mean, he said something that's very, very profound. And I wrote it down as, you know, say English, not they had me get. Self-reflection. It's also an aspect in the school of emotional intelligence. You know, there's a place of self-awareness. You don't know, say, okay, this is not your kind of person. You do better in this kind of space. These are your temperament. You know, when you're looking at self-awareness, you are talking about identifying your likes, your dislikes, understanding your temperament, your background, You need to, you see, where a number of us, thank you, Lord, where a number of us are having issues in our relationship is that we are using our past to corrupt our current relationships. For example, not be person fault, say you are from a polygamous home. Now, self-awareness requires that you accept that these are your past, these are your faults, these are your flaws, this is your upbringing. Not be person fault, say you're not tall, you're not tall, man, don't say you short. Not be person fault. You understand? Say my leg no straight, not be person fault. Make another transfer and go give other people. You see, the problem some people are having in their relationships is that they are dispensing their dysfunctionality. Let me explain. The English big, but it's simple. Most people, what they bring into their relationship are the baggages of their emotional traumas. The fact that you were not raised by your mom, why are you putting it on everybody's face? You understand? Or the fact that you were heartbroken by a choir director, why are you transferring the aggression? You see, one of the challenges people have is that they don't reconcile with their issues. So now I don't know you've been through that now. I don't know you are a single mom now. You understand? So there should be a place of self-awareness. You should be aware that, okay, these are your differences, these are your shortcomings, these are, we all have ours. You understand? You know, I used to say this, I said it while we're doing the series on self-concept. Maybe some of you need to go and get that message. You see, for me, I don't know why concept issue has never been my problem. Maybe because I reconciled with my condition early enough. I remember when I was in secondary school, we trek a lot. Early morning like this, you are trekking to school. Maybe you are finished cleaning, walking. You are even angry. You just see some small children clapping after you. Bow leg. You know, funny. You are laughing. You know, funny. But I didn't know I would even be laughing with them. You understand? I would just laugh and then I'll just greet them as if I, okay, maybe there was a day in children church, they told us that anybody went and cursed you, tell the person God bless you. I don't know if they taught you that when you were growing up. You say if anybody insults you, say, so I would just be telling them God bless you, and I'll be smiling. So possibly growing up, if you they, you know, in worry where you grow up, you know, they yab you a lot. Most, that's why comedy came out, because we can yab ourselves. So there is no insult anybody wants to bring that is an insult per se. We'll laugh over it. Now even yourself go begin to ask yourself, say, what make you even talk? So what I'm trying to say is that in the school of self-awareness, you must learn to reconcile with your weaknesses. Now that's good. Now, but the one in our brought up is self-reflection. Now, the reason why we must talk about self-awareness before self-reflection is because if you don't deal with the triggers, if you don't have the right words to respond when the trigger comes, the moment those children say, bow leg, I'll give one, pa, will be your mama, tell mama may come. I will tell your mama, say, now, even now, your mama bow leg. You understand? But, and that's where, because what are you going to be reflecting on? Because let's take, for example, in an office situation, let's take, for example, one of your colleagues, maybe even a junior, talk to you anyhow before the others. Now, when you are reflecting, it can make the binu to high. Ah, imagine, Emeka, I was even the one that recommended that Oga should employ him, talking to me like this. This life safe. But when you are reflecting, the conclusions and reconciliations and allowances you have developed over time will be what will determine how, whether it will calm you down. Because you know, it's saying that you go calm. Some people, they know calm. Some people, in fact, it will become the workshop where they go, they plan the plan. Do you understand? So it's important we get to know that in the place of reflection, one of the first things that should come in, okay, two things should come in. Maybe let's hear from mommy. Maybe mommy will say them. Let's, mom wanted to say something. I think another person, I think there's a brother here that raised his hand.
I want to look at it from personal experiences. While I was serving, I had a friend. No, I had two friends, different ones. And there was one particular one I offended, and I knew I offended him. And I told him I was sorry. He said okay, but he began the silent treatment. The other person, we became friends because we are from the same place. I served in the north. And suddenly, I didn't know what I did wrong. I came to him. Did I offend you? He said, no. I went to meet somebody else. Brought the person to him to say, did I do anything wrong? He said, you are embarrassing me. So, in the two cases, I did the same thing. That's where I'm coming to. Now, there is a third one. This is a colleague, a senior colleague. He's a chief with NECO, and he knows the rules in marking English language. And so this is mock exam. I applied the rules, but it hit one of his favorite students, and he became very angry with me. So I told him, sir, this is the rule. He said, what do you mean? What are you telling me? Okay, sir. I brought to his table my red pen. I wanted to take my red pen, and he said, don't you dare touch that. I knew I had a problem on my hand. I still did the same thing. And that is what I want to say. In the three cases, I went to God. I discussed what has happened with him. And I told him to handle it. The first person that I actually offended, I told him to apologize on my behalf. The second person that I didn't know what happened, I asked him to settle the matter. And with my boss, I told him, God, I am angry. Take away my anger. And it was as if he just wiped it away. So I got up, went to my boss, and told him, sir, it did not just affect the one student, it affected some others. Let me make the correction calmly. And for the next 2 years, my oga in different ways was apologizing for that outburst. The guy that I offended, we were just in a meeting like this, and as the word was coming out, I was stylishly looking his direction. I knew God was answering my request. And the one that I did not know what I did, after he kept his, you know, the silent treatment, the everything for a whole month, one day he just knocked on my door. He said, I'm sure you are not expecting me. I said, point of correction, I have been expecting you. So he called me a witch because of that. So what I'm saying in essence is, when you are dealing with someone who is giving you the silent treatment, there is still someone that can reach them beyond you. My boss is a Christian, either religious or not, I'm not very sure. The person I offended was a born-again Christian. The one I didn't know what I did was not a Christian, but God reached them at different times.
Glory to God. Let's put hands together for mommy. You know, I said she was going to say it. Now, there were two things I wanted to say that should always be in our hearts when we are doing self-reflection. Mommy said one. First is our identity and who we are identified with. Honestly, it changes a lot. It changes a lot. It changes a lot. It changes a lot. You see, some of us, when it comes to our emotions, we always throw away our spirituality. We throw away our upbringing. Because that's how we feel that moment. And you must understand that a relationship with God that cannot intercept how you feel with men is not a good relationship. Because if the way you dey binu, God begin binu like that and decide to treat you silently, just imagine how it will be. More reason the matter. Say the way you, the way I vex you now, I do you want to where you know like, you just push me go one corner. Just imagine, say one day you do God want to where God not like, God just push you go one corner, come push you go the corner where Lucifer did. Because one corner can be any corner. Eh? Colossians 3:13, NLT. So one thing, like she rightly said, we must, I call it, install our spirituality in our relationships. Our identity and who we are identified with. Because if you forget who you are, you will react anyhow. Let me give you an illustration. I used to use this a lot. It was while I was in secondary school, one of my teachers used it. You know, as children, that's how we used to behave as young adults. And unfortunately, some of us, we have left that level, but we did not learn the lessons that came with that level. How many of us know that every level we get to in life teaches us certain things? For example, children, there is something they are learning at that age. And, you know, there are things we should not outgrow, but rather implement in the next level. Children, one thing about children is they can forgive. They don't, it seems they don't have brain to remember what same person do. You can see two children, one pinch the other, they cry. Later, you see two of them play together again. After they play, the other one go do the other one. They'll come meet you, mommy, this one do. Later, they are playing again. So, our teacher said something to us. He said, for example, you are taking your bait. All these face me and slap you when they are bedroom the day back. And then you now hung your towel on the door outside. And then you are taking your bait. Then a madman now came, now dragged the towel and started running. You now came out from the bedroom and started running after the madman. That the two of you, who would they say is mad? You understand? I mean, that analogy was so graphical. So what he was trying to explain is that not be everything you supposed react like a fool. Because if somebody did foolishly and you now reacted foolishly, you are the bigger fool. That's just it. So there should be a place of self-reflection, and that self-reflection should come from one, your identity. Who are you? For example, as I drove and the bike man insulted me, if I parked and then he go start to fight. And at the end of the day, if someone like Pastor Victor or even mommy passes and see Pastor fighting, say, ah, not be the bike man, people go there. Now even me, you know when you there, where you have you not been in a state, maybe you go to a supermarket or somewhere, the way you are gashed up and then you are reacting. Not be the other person people go they follow talk. Now you they go they come, they come. Now why are they coming you? Because guy, the way you package, your package is supposed to reach your reaction now. So meaning that there is how our understanding of who we are should shape how we react to two things. Number one, issues, and to people. We'll come to that very soon. Then number two, Pastor Victor intended, and I was going to come back to it. The two things that we should reflect on when our emotions wants to get the best of us, like anger, resentment, bitterness, malice. One is we should reflect on our identity. Who are you? You are a believer. You have been taught. Scripture said it, that because he forgave you, you should forgive. Scripture also said you should not outburst anger. How can you, in the midst of 10, 5, 6 people, or even 3 people, you are shouting, all your vein is showing? You understand? You can lose a lot of respect by that action. So, number one, identify identity in relation to who you are, and identity in relation to who you are connected to. You are an ambassador. You are a man of honor. You are a girl of honor. Imagine, as sweet you go by, they don't give you change. You don't remove your weave on. Eh? Amy Omajegule, we know you are Omajegule, but your wig was covering it. Now you remove the wig, say, can't you see? No, it's not necessary. The guy that has behind you in the street might just be somewhere. So two, apart from identity, what do you reflect on? The value of the relationship. And I think how I started handling issues began when I started seeing values in relationship. You see, some of us, when we're growing up, you know, the environment we grew up in, very good and bad at the same time. And then there's one statement people used to make. I know they pass you go anywhere. Anything you want to, you feel do. I know they pass you go anywhere. You see, that statement is a bad statement though. It's a very, very bad statement. It means that this is what it means. It means that your anger is always more superior to your relationships. And I bet you will suffer in life. People that always make that statement. Because God will never bless you by sending an angel. Angels are humans. So the moment you are saying, I know they pass you go anywhere, God is seeing how you are treating human beings. There are some people that keep saying humans are this, humans are that, and yet they are not getting anything good from humans. Sometimes, like he said, we should turn the arrow around. It may not be them, it may just be you. We all have our issues. Now just say with some of us, no carry on for head. Some of us put on for pocket, some of us drop on for latrine. We all have our issues. So the value. So, and it's not the value you place on your relationship with Valin. No, we are saying that the value you place on what? Relationships. Every relationship must be valuable. Can you tell your neighbor, say neighbor? Can we talk a little? Can we talk a little? Relationship are values. I mean, you can't imagine who will show up in your downest town. You can't imagine it. Are we together? You can't imagine it. And there is something about relationship you must learn. Whatever you sow, you reap. Now, you may be treating a maker anyhow, but you're already sowing a seed that Jonathan will be the one that will give you back. That is one thing about life. Whatever. It's not whoever you sow. So meaning that as believers, one of the first resolutions we must make is that relationships are valuable. Relationship with your neighbor. That guy, when he say they always use toilet, you know they flush. You know they wash. That's a relationship. Yes. That woman you always they buy things for when you know they pay. Verse for you go tell the other neighbor for compound. It's a relationship. Amen. That security man for your place of work, Musa, is a relationship. That brother in church is a relationship. That colleague in the office is a relationship. So it means that the moment we begin to install the principles, it affects our reaction. For example, some people, because they couldn't tame their anger, have insulted their boss, made statements. Okay, let's take for example like what mommy was saying. Sincerely, she was right. She had played according to the books. But sometimes, like we're talking about self-relationship, Pastor Vito said it categorically that sometimes we must cast our gaze from the current to what can become tomorrow. We must be future-minded in our dealings. Let me give you an instance. There are some people, if you want to get their venom, borrow money from them and not pay. You can compose episode. By the time you finish reading the message they sent, on top the 10,000 you refuse to refund, you will hate why you have become poor in life. You will regret the day you ever became poor. So it means that we must get to a point where, like I wrote down, our words and gestures should be controlled. I know what to say to make you feel bad, but because I already know that it will make you feel bad, is enough reason why I shouldn't say it. Have you had some people having misunderstanding and they begin to hit you under the belt? They know what can get you really upset. Neither could they use the talk. Those kind of people, they are lovable. And that's why we're having this kind of conversation. They can be handled. Glory to God. Let's bring another one. Our time is going. One look at... Okay, another issue we talked about is lack of definition, defining the relationship. Every relationship must have a base. It's very important. Now, I want to talk about communication. We have mentioned a lot about communication. There are few things I wrote down about communication. Assertive communication. Write it down. Assertive communication. Learning to communicate assertively. It's something that I want us to learn, especially as believers. Bible says that let our words be seasoned with grace. Let it minister grace to the hearers. What do we mean by assertive communication? It simply means learning to manage issues, not attacking individuals. I've given an example some time ago. Let me give an illustration. For example, you and your friend, you are supposed to go for maybe a meeting, or you are to go for a visitation, or go for an outing. Now, the time for the outing is 4 o'clock. And then this is your friend coming around to 5. And you were patient enough. You waited. But you were angry. Now, how do you communicate your anger will reveal your understanding of assertive communication. The first temptation, which a number of us, we do that sometimes, and I learned it and I started practicing it. The first thing you want to do is to attack the person. Shebina, you are a perpetual latecomer Agba. You know, that's not when you attack people, there is a stimuli in us, an hormone in us that triggers resentment. And resentment does not produce application of correction. Any correction that is wrapped with personality attack does not sit well with the person. So the person may not change. That's why the person is actually a latecomer Agba. Do you get what I'm talking about? So, when there are issues, resist the temptation of attacking the person. So any statement that is beginning to say, hey, you, Shebina, you, now it's time late come and they burn you. Maybe now even late come and I make your papa lose the last job. You know, some people get word. They can attack people. They are word dead. It's wrong. What is assertive communication? You look at the issue. What is the issue? The lateness will not allow us to go to where we want to go early enough. So now, share, you see now, you don't come late. We can't go there now. We'll not go see share. We can't rush for share. Or we'll go there now. They'll come, they look or say, Shibuna is supposed to come early. Or now, this now. See, this one, you don't come to 5. Me, I'm not staying there beyond 6 o'clock. Oh. Why now? No. You don't already see my time now. Now, what are we doing in this conversation now? Are we attacking the individual? We are handling the issue. And you must understand that there is a part of every human being that reasons with reason. We are reasonable. That's why we have brain. So, if you really want to be reasonable, you should focus on what the person's lateness can cause. For example, as mothers, as fathers, sometimes we do that to our kids. I don't know, I've experienced at least 2-3 tribes, but I don't know of any tribes that insult their children like the Yoruba tribe. God have mercy on me. I was passing one day, a mother was bathing the boy. The boy was not there, say, Oshi, Oshini. Hailing insult on the boy, on top bath. She, oh, yeah, Buruni. on top bath. It looks like every new opportunity we are releasing missiles, and we forget that these missiles can come back to become missiles in the children. I mean, let's do fast. You have to go to school, Junior. You know, if you don't go to school, your teacher will be telling you, they'll be singing Little Little Come Out for your head. Is that not reasonable enough? The child will be learning. But when you are outdoors, insult, hauling insult on someone. Imagine, your mother gave you beans, or your uncle gave you beans, may you boil. You press phone, sleep, beans born. He says, see you, look at you, demon of destruction. You now, you the saint, can't destroy all my properties. Go tell them, say, you don't see me. Amen. How many of us are sitting on that table? You've done that before. You've released those kind of words before. Be sincere. Yeah, you don't want to talk, Adi. Are we learning? So, we don't, when there is an issue, somebody borrowed your charger, and all of a sudden, maybe don't even borrow like one or two. Now, lay the person in hand, your charger take this point. The last time I borrow your charger, the charger born, he bring her intestine, no work. Now you give her another one. You will be tempted to say, guy, you get problem, go for deliverance. Your hand is a burning hand. These things happen. And the truth is, that's where our maturity comes. You understand? For me, for someone like me, rather than giving those titles, I will add this charger. This one will be say charger. I always they pump for you. I come on. Wait more reason. Wait till they cause her. Maybe the way they handle it, they always a plug charger. You go plug and leave. You go sleep with all these of our lights. When it be like lightning and thunder. You understand? So now, rather than, we must learn to separate issues from individuals. That's when they can become better. How we handle issues will determine whether the person will become bitter or the person will become better. But for us as believers, we want the person to become what? Better. So tell neighbor, communicate assertively. Focus on issues, not the individuals. Okay, clap for me now. I try, Abby. Okay, we'll take two more, but I wrote something down in communication, because while we're talking about not giving heed to silent treatment, one of the reasons why people prefer the silent treatment is that when they communicate the issue, it can escalate. So now, how do we prevent issues from escalating when we communicate? I've mentioned one, be assertive, mind the kind of words you use. And then another thing I wrote down is, be flexible to compromise, flexibility and compromise. Some of us, we are too rigid. That's why I said sometimes our insensitivity can be insanely insensitive, because if you are the kind of individual that you don't easily compromise, what's the starting point of compromise? Let me tell you one of the starting points of compromise. The starting point of compromise is, I'm sorry. Now, let me explain what I'm sorry means. A number of us don't know what I'm sorry means. I'm sorry is not accepting the blame. No. Because someone will say, so how will I say I'm sorry? Did I do anything wrong? No. If to you, I'm sorry is because you have to wait till you have seen what you did wrong before you say I'm sorry, you don't know what I'm sorry means. Let me explain what I'm sorry means. I'm sorry means, number one, you value the relationship. That's number one. But the most important reasons we say sorry is because my action, either intentional or unintentional, has created a displeasure in the person's heart. So that I'm sorry is trying to solve the displeasure issue first. Did you understand what I just said? So you are not sorry because you are sorry. You are sorry because my action, the fact that I didn't return the charger when I should have returned it, allowed your phone to go down. Now, that fact that your phone go down affected you in a way. So, I'm saying I'm sorry to handle the effect my action created. whether the action is justified or what's not justified. Are we together? So that's the reason why, if you really want to get the best of issues, start it with, I'm sorry. Guy, Alpha, no verse, you're no verse. This thing, just a verse. Even if what you did is legit, but the fact that it has created a what? A despair. So I'm sorry, it's like what you do to a bitter soup. You just add salt to it for the soup to sweet. Do you understand? Are you with me now? So whenever we are saying I'm sorry, stop thinking that it's, I'm sorry is for you. I'm sorry is not for you. I'm sorry is because of the value. Sometimes, okay, for example, we've seen situations like that where your boss tell you to do something, you did it, and the boss is shouting again. If you say, but oga, now wait till you say, ma, do, what's going to happen to the oga? It's going to flare up more. Like the situation that mommy brought up. There are some times when you say I'm sorry, you silence a trigger that will not make the person to now go back and think that this thing serve now me even not doing well. Oh. The person will not come back again and throw the I'm sorry back to you. Say, I beg, no verse. The way I was thinking that time, I was not. But if you didn't say I'm sorry that moment, what would have happened? Things would have spoiled, that it would delete the opportunity for the person to even come back to say, oh, okay, actually I was the one that didn't do well. Do we get that now? So compromise most times require that we say sorry. Then two, compromise makes it easy for us to accommodate people in our lives because we value what they can bring. Nobody is perfect. Like she said, when we started, we enjoyed the relationship. Maybe we're in a distance. Now we are beginning to get close. What happened? We are exposed to our weaknesses. So flexibility means I should tolerate to an extent, an appreciable level of tolerance. That's what that verse of scripture is saying. Because there is no way you and I, our background, our histories, our temperament, it can be the same. Even two people that stayed in the same placenta, Shama and Shalom, they cannot be in the same behavior. So we must understand that if we really must make friends, we must create allowance for people to occupy in our lives. If we didn't create that allowance, we will not have relationships. Because sometimes the very good of us have certain tendencies that we call bad. But because of the value I place on the relationship, I have to accommodate the bad in quotes for the relationship to work. And that's why sometimes marriages don't work. Because to us, we are expecting a perfect partner. But to be honest, is there any perfect partner anywhere? No, we are emotional. And listen, why we are not perfect is because we are emotional. The word emotion simply means something that is not stable. Somebody, they cry right now. They cry. Just put 2K, 2K small, 20K into the person's account. You understand? You know, some people, depression can be cured by prayers, but some can be cured by alert. Just send alert to their phone now. Their mood will change. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can we celebrate the Lord? So two more contributions and then we take our breakfast. Okay? Let's listen to Minister Dave. So managing our relationships.
Good morning, church. Alright, to manage relationships, first is a law of selflessness, which we've actually dealt with. Now, in compromise is the fact that you choose to understand the other person, or the other person wants to be treated at the expense of yourself. So you choose to understand. And when I understand, maybe Minister Mayowa wants to be treated in a way as this, I leave my own satisfaction aside, then treat her the same way. And it's a responsibility to also understand the way I want to be treated, leaving her satisfaction aside, then treat me the same way. In that place, it is balanced. So at that point in time, we get to really, no matter what, And then there's another law I privilege to apply sometimes whenever I'm dealing with people or dealing with issues sometimes. The story in Luke where the woman, the adulterous woman, and then brought her to Jesus. And then she was to be stoned. Legally, by law, she was guilty. But then, most of the time, what Jesus pointed is that you didn't see yourself. So most of the time, when somebody wrongs me, I do look at it as, what if I'm in this person's shoe? How do I behave? So, time of reflection. And I, no matter how our temperament is, I think one major thing that will really help individuals is time of reflection. Time of reflection, whether you are an extrovert, you are an introvert, you are a melancholic, choleric, we take time of reflection, put
the pile. So there is a level that we pile to, because you do not have the capacity to contain them. What will happen? Pull. And then people say, that guy that is very quiet. And you know, when we're growing up, they used to make that statement, fear quiet people, fear short people. Amen. They make us feel, say, when we not tall, we close to devil, Abby. We are tall in the spirit. Fear tall people, fear them. And those people that say fear them, check. Glory to God, just by the wayside. It's a fear quiet people. Because sometimes there is actually nothing as it were as being quiet in that state. Quietness is a condition we should put ourselves to reflect. But the moment you reflect, ask God for wisdom. And you see, there are issues in your life. Practice it this week, even today. There are people you've been carrying in your heart for some years now. Start praying about them. Just start praying about them. You know, this is our spirituality. Most times it's only theory. Most people don't do the practical of it. Start praying. You see that boss that is a thorn in your flesh. Start from today. I don't want you to pray for 7 days. 7 days is too much. Like mommy said, just talk to God one day. Really talk to God about it. And give us the next 3-4 weeks. You'll come back to see the change of story. There is a God that can touch people in ways your words can never touch them. Bring them up in prayers. Bring them up. That guy that broke your heart, that lady that broke your heart, pray for him. Pray for her. That liberation will happen. And the moment it happens, let me tell you the next thing after you pray. One of the first things is that healing will begin to take place in your heart. Because the Bible says he is the balm of Gilead. By his stripes we were healed. Some of the stripes that Jesus took when they were beating him up, it was for the pains that people will inflict in your life. So each time they inflict those pains and you come to the place of prayers, those stripes that they gave to Jesus will begin to come on you. Rather than you being pained, what will happen? Healing will happen. That person that you didn't want to greet before, you want to greet the person. Change is beginning to happen. Then the third thing that will happen apart from healing is supply of wisdom. God will not give you wisdom. Don't just get up and say, I'm going to meet him in his office. See, there are some people you get up and go and meet in your office. By the time they release 3 more, that your anger will become monumental one. It's not just saying, me, I can't be quiet or I must talk. No, that's not how the believer behaves. Yes, you will talk, but from where? Emotions or spiritual direction? Listen, you don't solve a problem at the level it's created. It's more problem. So what do you do? You pray. It can be 2 days. It can be 3 days. You're not keeping the person in your mind, but the Holy Spirit is helping you to deal with the matter. So one day you just wake up after your prayers, the Spirit of God will just minister utterance to you. You now say, Gina, can I see you today? And then by the time you finish talking, 2 things will happen. Number one, the person will realize. And then number two, the relationship will become stronger. Every issue we deal with in our relationship from a spiritual place strengthens the relationship. That's why there are some bonds that you cannot break. There are some relationships that cannot scatter. They are not established on the emotions. They are not established on the flesh. They are established by the laws of the what? The Spirit. Glory to God. So can you jump up and say, Jesus, thank you. Have you been blessed this morning? Have you gained something? Can you rejoice? Glory, glory, glory. So, two things. The first one would be closing eyes. Maybe you are here. Someone that's hurt you, or there are pains you've been nursing in your heart. I want you to just close your eyes and ask the Lord to heal you. Ask the Lord to heal you. Ask the Lord to heal you. Go ahead and pray that prayer. Here, maybe your boss in the office, someone close to you, maybe someone you once dated. There are some pains in your heart. There are some pains in your heart. Go ahead. Ask the Lord to take this pain away. Take the pain away. Maybe you are angry with your dad, your mom, or your sibling. It's been painful. Yes, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend as kind as he. No one else can take my sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. No one ever cares for me like Jesus. Ask Jesus to heal you. Just place your hands on your chest and ask him. Maybe there are, you see, when we are healed, we can have good relationships. When we don't have pains locking around our hearts, we can relate better with people. No one else take my sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. No one ever cares for me like Jesus. There's no other friend as kind as he. No one else can take my sins and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. And so, Lord, we thank you for healing our hearts and for releasing us to have better relationships, for helping us to develop, for helping us to mature. We will no longer treat people with contempt. We will no longer look down on anyone. And by your Spirit, we relate with people with love. For this, Lord, we say, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can we celebrate the King of Kings? Can we celebrate the Lord of Lords?
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovemembrancy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovemembrancychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.